you know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
bumper speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the Thriving Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, this is John, the American Hill Jack Lane, right here with Bill Damiano and Chris Hawthorne talking about the 11-year, do you believe it, 11-year anniversary of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Now, these guys, you know, I've known Bill for a while, but I don't know much about Chris, so I'm going to dive in here and ask all the questions that all you people are wondering about, how this thing got started. So, Bill, let me ask you this. I know, since you brought me in, you've worked really hard, but I don't know exactly where it all began. Give us a little back end of things and tell us where it led and how it all became where it is today for the PA Rock Show.
I will do that. And in the process, hopefully some things will start clicking in Chris's head and he'll remember.
I certainly hope so.
Okay. So here's what happened. I was running akmusicscene.com. It opened in February of 2004 and Chris's mom was running,
Bands thriving on fans. She's fond of the long URLs, man.
Yeah. And she came across my site and contacted me. So originally I was talking to his mom. And then she's, hey, check out what my son's doing, which was Indie Band Radio.
No, man.
Was it still Unsigned Online at that point?
I believe it started out as a component of her website. And real quick, I decided, hey, wait a minute. Working for your mom is the lamest thing you can do. So, for the record,
Chris was 14 when this was going on.
I was. It quickly became Unsigned Online. I'm not sure where you came in there, but it may have been Unsigned Online at the time.
Well, both domains existed. I remember making images for both. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in there. The PA Rock Show was September 14th, 2004. That was the very first one.
Yeah. And let me tell you, being a guy, I was, you know, as we know, from Pennsylvania and around that area. And until you really took the helm of things, the music scene there, you always had to go south. You always had to go to Pittsburgh to get anything, you know, any recognition or anything. But it seemed though, as once you got AKA music scene and, you know, the Pennsylvania Rock Show going, it really drew a lot of attention to that area.
Yeah, people tell me that, but I don't know that I believe it.
I didn't know it existed, so
that's true.
You got one fan right here.
Texarkana or Arcana? How do you say that?
Oh man, not even close. Texarkana, John got it.
Well, I'm a redneck.
I was a 14-year-old. I don't know if that ninth grade and. Had a lot of free time on my hands. I'd gotten expelled from school. So, you know, what do? You start an internet radio station.
Right. Now, and Chris, with you, what inspired you to start your site and, you know, do the things you were doing with your site?
Watching what my mom was doing was kind of interesting to me because, you know, there was a lot of music that she was discovering that I was really into. So when she said, you know, hey, I wish there was a way I could stream this music. Keep in mind, this is back in the days of GeoCities. You know, she's clicking and dragging using like a what you see is what you get editor. So, you know, she says, I want to do this. And that's, you know, what led me into the whole internet radio thing. And I got kind of addicted to it real fast. I mean, I probably worked more hours then than I do now.
Right. And being that you were so, you know, young and hungry, it probably made it that much more interesting for you because you weren't distracted by the, you know, the things that we probably are now with jobs and everything. So, you know, you had more time to put into it.
didn't have a damn thing going on in my life other than that radio station. And unfortunately, I had no idea what I was doing. So, you know, it may have taken 20 hours to do a 2-hour job. And Bill was a great help with stuff like that.
Yeah. Now you're saying, from what I understand, what Bill has told me, you were having a little some issues with your site, Chris, and your
with his actual streaming computer.
Yeah,
with his actual streaming computer.
I think I'd been taken out by the blaster worm at the time. I think is what it was. Not to date myself too bad. being an IT professional, I hate to say that it took me like 2 or 3 days to figure that one out, but it did.
Right.
And yeah, I pretty much just said, you know, Bill, here's the, you know, the streaming server, have at it. And I don't know, Bill, had you done any kind of streaming before that?
No, none. And it was, we did the live show that first day, that September 14th. And I called Brian Schaefer, who's the lead singer of Cage at the time. He's in a band called The Travelers now. And, I was like, hey, I need a microphone and I need it like now. And he showed up with the microphone, and that was the first show.
Yeah. And from what I remember, you were doing hybrid site that you came across, Matt Franny and Steve Craven. And, Matt, it was really an intricate part of everything as well.
Oh, Matt still is. He drives everything in this area.
Right. And I'll tell you, I've known Matt for a long time. And I see everything that you two have teamed up to do for, you know, things and how you've helped him and how he's helped you. And like I said, it has really been a grassroots movement that has made the scene a very competitive scene throughout the United States, you know, in my opinion.
Coming from Ohio.
Yeah. Right now, if you don't know, people, I'm sitting at the Hilljack Ranch in Akron, Ohio, even though I am a Pennsylvania redneck and will be for the rest of my life. You know, and for those that don't know, I'm working with Bill, but me and Bill haven't seen each other face to face in what? Probably about 5 years.
Oh, it's probably longer than that.
Yeah, probably longer. You're right.
What Rock for Life? What was the last Rock for Life you played?
Oh, Rock for Life I last played was with, I believe was with Impune. Oh my goodness. Cause I played Gigaroos, but I haven't played a Rock for Life in a while. Yeah, man, it's probably been about 2005, maybe.
Yeah. See, you know? It's been a little longer.
10 years. Yeah.
So wow. John grew up in Butler, correct?
I grew up in Katanning. Okay. McQueen. My dad's from Katanning. Mom's from Butler. So, you know, I grew up in that area and, you know, was a musician in that area for a long time. And, you know, Bill, you know, I didn't even know who Bill was. And when I first met Bill, he was taking my picture, you know, and like you said, we were talking before we come on air, and one of Bill's favorite pictures he ever took of me. And when I come over back over that area, you know, for some reason I, you know, get offered, you know, a dip, you know, a chew. And I had one in before I went on stage and I wiped it out of my teeth, but unfortunately there were still remnants of it in my teeth. And I get out on stage and, you know, I'm getting Bill's face because, you know, that's what I do. You know,
I had a camera.
Yeah. And, he takes a picture and there it is. You know, got the old Copenhagen, you know, running through the old gaps of the Hilljack's teeth here, you know, but it's a great picture. And another great picture you took of me is, when I was up on top of the box truck.
Yeah.
Clear. Yeah. So, you know, some great pictures. Now, you know, you guys though, back to what you guys do. Now, you know, how did it switch from, you know, you just helping Chris to leading into, you know, doing your own thing and running with it, Bill?
Well, here's what happened when Brian and I were done. And with the live thing, because I did run music for a couple of days, but I did the live show. And Brian looked at my wife, Kelly, and I, and he's like, oh, that was really fun. We should do that again. Mm-hmm. And now we're at 11 years.
Yeah. And I know originally you had bands in like Doppler Effect, Cage, Sundog, and you know, you were having them play right there live. In your living room,
right in the room I'm sitting in right now. Actually,
I remember watching that, man. You had the webcam going.
I did for a little while. It wasn't a live one though. It took a picture like every 2 minutes or something.
Dude, for me, you know, I was probably 15 by that time. It was like being let into the club at age 15, man. I had no idea what to do with what I was watching.
I had no idea what to do either, and I was sitting in the middle of it.
And for me, a guy that, because when I was over there, like I said, nothing, I started working out of here in 2002. And there was nothing like that. So when I seen that, to see my friends, to be able to see my friends and being, you know, and back then in 2004, that wasn't very, you know, often happening. But to see my old friends and everything, being able to play live and whatnot, and you know, pushing them out there, I was like, wow, that's great. That's really a great opportunity, you know, for those guys. And, you know, and I can't believe now we're talking about this, you know, 11 years later. You know, you've really, you know, I've seen you know, really work hard, Bill, and, you know, do so much. And I am so impressed. And, you know, for those that don't know, Bill is, you know, he's not a musician, but he plays deck hockey.
And, you know, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. You're beating the hell beat out of yourself and trying to, you know, make it. Yeah. You know, and, but he does that. Bill has kids. He has, you know, he's a teacher at a Catholic school. You know, you can't, you know, you make this stuff up. And Bill, but he still makes this, you know, show happen and works so hard. And, you know, I was flattered, in, you know, 2014, February, ironically, you know, Bill came to me and, you know, asked me to do the concert calendar. But the whole thing was, you know, like he says, my name was just the first one to pop up on his, you know, Facebook friends list. On the
looking
side.
Through the friends list, I was like, hey, John used to do those videos for Rippers.
Very high standards.
Well, here's the thing. Do you know who Ripper is, right, Chris?
What's that?
Ripper? You know, Ripper
Tim
Owens?
Tim Ripper Owens. He replaced Rob Halford and Judas Priest, and I was working down here at his club at one point doing all the promotional videos and everything. And his club shut down. He was opening a new club. And unfortunately, I wasn't asked to go with him. And, you know, well, let's put it this way. I was asked to go, but I wasn't offered the proper money. So I just wasn't doing anything. And Bill contacted me about doing the concert calendar. And at first, I was just calling it on the radio. I mean, calling it on the phone. Yeah, for him to.
He's calling my Google Voice account and leaving voicemail.
Yeah, that's all I was originally doing. And lo and behold, so people understand how the AK music scene influences, you know, even the musicians and, you know, in the PA rock show. I, you know, got, you know, I'm going to go to broadcasting school. And, you know, Bill, I always say it's divine intervention that the big Hill Jack upstairs brought us together and, you know, gave me, you know, the opportunities that he has. And, Bill, you know, and I give Bill so much credit because he is an inspiration to me. And, in fact, right now there's me and two other guys that are developing a radio station.
Are you allowed to talk about this?
I'm not going to give out too much, but let's just say that it's along the same lines because, you know, I'll just say this. For so long, I was trying to find my own Bill out here to do it because I didn't want to be the guy doing it because I was, you know, I'm in bands, you know, so I didn't want it to be, just look like I'm, you know, doing it to push my own band. You know, but I couldn't get anybody out here interested to do something like the PA Rock Show out here. So then I go through broadcasting school for 11 months. I come out and, you know, now I'm, you know, we looked at what Bill's doing and we're trying to do the similar type thing over here because I see how good it is and how much it's done. I mean, when you look at Rock for Life, you know, I feel you are just as much as part of that as, you know, Steve, Matt, and Fred Almer, you've made that, you know, helped make that a big thing, you know, in my opinion.
You know what? That's one of the things that I look at, and I'm super proud of Bill for it. I mean, he was, you know, growing up, he was like a mentor to me. Uh-huh. And it's really good to see that he's taken something that he's passionate about and run with it. You know, here we are over a decade later, and here he is. You know, it's like it's his first year. He's got every bit of the fat passion left. You know, not to shame or to embarrass Bill too much here, but I just wanted to get that in there.
Well, yeah,
because I'm terrible at hearing this stuff.
Yeah.
Bill, you're awful.
Bill will tell you, he asked me to do the concert calendar, and I am a guy that's always a day late and a dollar short on things, so he's always having to remind me at the last minute.
And for the record, this month was early.
Yeah. You ruined my reputation.
I know.
I bet you were surprised when you opened your email today.
I very much was.
Well, hey, you know, we're at the 15-minute mark here on this first segment. So, you know, let's take a pause for the cause and let, you know, play some of this great on-sign music from all around Pennsylvania. And then we'll get back in on some questions, see what Chris is up to now. Stay tuned, people. It's the Pennsylvania Rock Show. And I'm telling you, this thing is getting hot. Hey, we're back here at the Pennsylvania Rock Show, and we're sitting with Bill Damiano and also Chris Hawthorne, and we are getting ready to talk about Chris. Now, I got to ask you, now you did all this with Bill and everything, and where did you lead to from there? What was your steps that, you know, after, you know, you helping, so per se, getting the Pennsylvania Rock Show off the ground?
You know, I don't ever really like to think that I was like, you know, a founding member or anything. I just like to think that, you know, Bill was waiting for the right opportunity and I was in need. You know, it was he scratched my back. I scratched his.
Right.
And we had a really good friendship, you know, as much as you can at, you know, the age 15. And I don't know, Bill, what were you back then? 75?
Well, if I was 75, that makes John like 81. At that time, so that now he's in his 90s.
Right. Sounds pretty good for 100 years old. But yeah, no, I like to think that I was just there as it was an opportunity for both of us, and we both learned a lot. Looking now,
did you keep your site going after, you know, with all that? Did you keep streaming and everything?
I streamed with Bill for a while. There came a point in my life where it was time to move on and, you know, be a teenager. I was a pretty troublesome kid. So the whole opportunity to run the site kept me out of trouble. So whereas a lot of kids might have been off, you know, just discovering women, wishing that they ran internet radio stations. I'm at my house working on MySQL queries and trying to figure out, like, you know, how can I show the bands how many times their songs have been requested? Exactly. And, you know, of course, trying to keep it secret that basically the other large supporter of indie band radio was my mother, which Bill, I don't know. Did you know that right off the bat?
Yeah, she told me.
That's unfortunate, man. I called her Holly in public. She was instrumental in it. You know, she supported me where I needed to be. And she did throughout the entirety of the station, you know, bands thriving on fans. You know, we started on a GeoCities website. And we went through a lot of stuff. When the station was called Unsigned Online, some squatter had gotten a domain and decided, hey, you know what? We're going to threaten to sue you. And
yeah, that's it. I knew there was a reason it switched.
His name was Jason. And I remember this very clearly. And the funny thing is, I live in Seattle, Washington. He lives in Yakima, Washington. He's about 3 hours away. And I'm sure he's doing great these days. but, you know, here I am 15 years old and I'm getting these cease and desist documents. If Holly hadn't been there, it would have been a really intimidating process to go through. I don't know that the station would have continued any further beyond that.
Right.
I wish I remember exactly what point, you know, the PA Rock Show came to be in all this.
I was there during that.
Were you?
I was.
It was pretty intimidating to get those kind of words as a kid, you know?
Oh yeah, it's intimidating now.
Here I am chasing a dream, and all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, "Hey, you owe us a lot of money." And of course, the joke was on them because I didn't have any.
Exactly. Can't get blood out of a turnip.
That is true. That is true, and it's just as true today.
This just popped into my head, but you had a protege back then, didn't you? A Mazda.
I did. I had a Mazda Protege, a 1992. It was red and it was terrible. it cost $1,800 and I learned a lot on that car. I learned a lot in that car.
okay then.
And that was my handle back then, Protege Chris, because that was my life. And I'm sure it would have been IBR Chris had that come along beforehand. Indie band radio was my life, and I was really glad to have it. Looking back, if I hadn't had it, I don't know what I would have done.
Okay. Now you went on to college, and you said, did you go to college to be an IT guy?
Well, so the funny thing was, I started working kind of, you know, whatever jobs I could when I was 17. I think the station officially shut down right before I turned 17.
Okay.
I think I was 16. Yeah, I was 16 at the time. Right. And I had started playing some music, I guess, from GarageBand.com, I think was the site. Bill, you probably mm-hmm. remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a band, I really wish I could place the name right now, but I heard them on terrestrial radio, you know, not even a month after the station was officially, you know, kaput. Right. And it was like a really bittersweet moment. You know, a band that I was helping promote was suddenly playing through the radio in the Mazda Protege. So yeah, no, that was it was a good note to end it on.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've talked briefly about, me trying to get back into the music scene, which is something I really enjoy. I mean, music makes you feel alive a lot more than my day job.
Oh, amen. Yeah,
so I ended up, I went on to work in.
Is this where I admit that I brought you two together on purpose?
Is it?
I think it is where I admit that.
Yeah, so I went on to work for Geek Squad for 3 years and then moved into corporate IT. And now I'm basically just a boring old man.
I was at 25.
So, you know, everybody, Chris is 25 years old. The underwear I have on right now is probably about 3 years older than him. But, you know, he's an old man. You don't know what old is. Now, being out from that area, I do know a few bands out there from your area, Chris. One of them being Prophets of Addiction. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Les Sanders is the singer, bass player in that band. And, he was in, Pretty Boy Floyd at one point, you know, so yeah. And now when you heard that band playing on terrestrial radio, did you take any solace and maybe, you know, you gave them some attention that got them to that point? You know,
absolutely, man. You know, I like to think that a lot of the bands would make it, but of course it's always,
it wasn't the Love Hammers, was it?
It wasn't Love Hammers. I mean, Love Hammers was kind of on a success streak already because their lead singer got on, what was it? Rockstar NXS. Now they were a great band. They were very supportive. And, I actually went out and saw them playing in Louisville, Kentucky on the Bell of Louisville when I was 15, I think. And that was a really fun experience, man. Of course, I couldn't drink. If I could go there today, I might actually be banned from Kentucky.
Hey, but there's nothing wrong from being banned from someplace. You can use that in, you know, a portfolio somewhere.
Hey, especially from Kentucky. I don't think that would hurt me any.
Yeah, no, not really.
And there goes part of our listeners.
all three of them tuned out.
Oh. For the record, the show is still played on Mega Rock Radio, which was a connection I made because of Chris.
Okay. And,
that's also the FM station that it gets played on is Robert as well. And,
nice.
So don't bash St. Louis right now.
Hey man, I love St. Louis. I lived in Little Rock for a good time and there were a few weekends where I'd just hop on the Amtrak and ride it up north.
Really nice.
Yeah. You know, Rob from Mega Rock, that was a turning point for my station. I had gotten to the point where we had just enough listeners to make it a financial burden, but not enough to make it feasible. So I was at the point where it was like, I can't afford to serve this number of listeners. And, Rob came along and I believe at one point he was helping me with,
a whole stream?
What's that?
He gave you a stream to use, didn't he?
He did. And wow, I remember it was a situation where if the station had more listeners than it could support, he'd say, hey, why don't you check out this other station? We're crazy overloaded. And I went from, I remember the night, that he actually did this. He had said, you know, hey, I'm going to start sending some traffic your way. I had maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 listeners and I woke up one morning. And of course, the first thing I do is run to my computer and make sure everything's okay. And I had like 250 listeners. And that might have been my first orgasm, man. That might have been it.
I wouldn't blame you, especially because, heck, you're a young kid. You know, you know, and given that opportunity, that's awesome.
Well, you know, suddenly I had an audience. You know, I had a,
which in turn gave me an audience.
It wasn't just people that I knew or people that were familiar with me or the station. It was the world that I had to satisfy. So I started taking things a lot more seriously. You know, I started putting more time into the website. I started trying to develop more features on the website, get the forums more active. Making a panel for bands to come in and see how often their songs are requested. You know, they could develop their set list based on what songs people requested most often. And I thought that was pretty great.
And I'd like to point out that Cage was really high on the list of how many.
Cage was. And I think a significant portion of that was me too, man. I wasn't special. I would request songs on my own station and just let it run through the system.
And Cage was a good band.
Absolutely, they were.
You know, and like we talked off air, and you know,
coincidentally, don't cut you off for a second. This year is the 10-year anniversary of their album Bombs.
Wow!
Which we did a live CD release on Indie Band Radio. I don't know if you remember that.
It's a true story, man.
And you can actually listen to those songs on PARockShow.com right now. They're up there.
And you should do that. You should do that because as soon as we get off of the air here. I am going to do that myself, man. I've got to listen to Stranded and The Alcohol Does the Talking.
Yes, that's the one I was just going to bring up. Alcohol Does the Talking, I think, was, you know, a really good tune. And I really thought that would be the song, if that band was going to break, that would be the one to put them over the top.
Hey, it's 2015, and the last time I played that song was less than a month ago. Just blasting it down the streets of Seattle.
That's awesome. I'll make sure they know.
And you mentioned off air, Super Zero was another band, which was Matt Franny, Steve Craven, Terry McCausland, and George Ivanusik, the Yeti. And George and me worked in a band called Impune together. And Super Zero was another band that I thought was, you know, poised to break as well with the right to, you know, luck and everything.
Super Zero's lead singer is now living in Nashville and singing country.
So yes. Is that Terry McCausland or is that someone else?
It was Terry McCausland. His stage name is Terry Lee Spencer.
Yeah, he's now Terry Lee Spencer, and he's doing really good. And he's really good at what he does. Everything that I've caught from him and everything. And a matter of fact, one of the songs that Terry helped write along with Matt Ferrani in Hybrid, my band, Full Motion Animation at the time, when we got our deal with
that's not what the band's name was originally.
I know the original name was Future Murders of America. And when we got signed to Dream State Records, they said, hey, we have a problem. We're going to have a problem pushing that. So we changed it to Full Motion Animation. And let me tell you, you want to talk about how ingenious that change was. I was working on my computer and was changing my gaming cards and found the Full Motion Animation card, and it just happened to fit the initials. That's how, you know, thought out that was. But then we re-recorded Intention that was originally recorded with Hybrid.
And I believe they called it Cruel Intentions.
I might have that song, man.
I'm positive you do.
I'm positive you do. And then we recorded, you know, through Dream State Records and released it. So, I mean, the grassroots of things that came from, you know, you guys working together has spanned out nationwide, if you really want to get down to it.
Especially if he's playing Cage in Washington.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know what? Here we are 10 years later, and, you know, like a worm lying in my driveway.
Stranded.
All day. I get these songs stuck in my head like this happened last week. You know what? The band we were discussing earlier that I heard on the radio, I just came to mind 10 years. They had a song called Wasteland.
Yeah.
That's the one that I heard on terrestrial radio after the demise of Indie Band Radio.
And to let you know, 10 years also toured for Armed Forces Entertainment, and I met them on one of the tours I was on for USO and AFE.
You know what, man? I think everything that every one of us does, that's for a musical group, whether it be our musical group or someone else's, I think without everyone's effort, none of this would happen.
Well, I totally agree. I totally agree. And here we are at the 15-minute mark on this segment. And I'm going to tell you.
You're good at this.
It's called a, you know, a format clock, Bill. I'll teach you about that when we get
together. Hey, I don't have one of those. Even if it's supposed to be in my head, I don't have one.
I tell all people that, yeah, if you don't believe that your efforts, you know, are getting paid attention to, the guys like Bill and Chris are out there and they are making this happen. Yeah. And making the analytics go up. So you bands out there are getting all the attention that you need to get that gets you somewhere. So, you know, don't ever, you know, when you got all these other guys that have, you know, different, you know, podcasts and shows and whatnot, and someone comes to you and offers you to play, you know, your song, I would be best to tell you, give it to them.
Never discount that opportunity. We yes. love everybody.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do in between this segment and the final one. We're going to play some Cage, some Super Zero, some Terry McCauslin. Who else did we talk about?
We talked about all kinds of people, Bill. See if you can grab those one of those songs from 10 years, man. That was a good band,
That's a shaky thing because I definitely don't have a waiver from them. And I bet Chris doesn't still have his.
No, that was lost in an alcohol accident.
So we may have to skip that one. The other guys I have waivers from.
Hey, do me a favor, man. We've got to hear the alcohol does the talking.
I will definitely cue that.
That's the crush right here from the American Hill Jack as well. So all you people stay tuned because we're going to be coming right back after these tunes. And make sure you pay attention because these were the bands that was the foundation of the PA Rock Show. Some of the best on-site music out of Pennsylvania that you could ever want to hear. Here we are at the Pennsylvania Rock Show, and we got Bill Damiano and also Chris Hawthorne talking about, you know, where it all came from, where it's led, and how it's going now. And Bill, I got to ask you because, you know, I went to school and had to be, you know, sat down behind a board and with two instructors over top of me telling me what to do. I'm curious exactly how you became a novice or now an expert at running the board.
Yeah, not an expert. Well, here's what happened. The first show we did with that, we did with the plastic microphone. The next week, radio. Half of like,
I believe, right?
Radio. What's that?
Brand, I believe, right?
I'm not sure what it was.
I think it was Radio Shack brand. I think we were rocking the same microphone, man. And I probably scraped pennies out of the couch to buy that $20 Radio Shack microphone.
I had to borrow it.
He had to borrow it from Brian from Cage.
So the following week, Brian shows up. Kurt's with him from Cage. Snap and Lars.
Yeah.
From Rockabilly Junction.
One of my favorite.
Ed Hughes from Scratch. Kate, whose band formed in my house, Suffocate. They're still playing.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, they all show up. There's a mixer, there's microphones everywhere, and so they, you know, for a couple weeks in a row, they brought that board, and then my wife and brother got together and bought a mixer for me for Christmas, and I didn't know how to run it.
Okay.
So that's where Tony Maranaki comes in from Total Music and Entertainment. He would listen to the show on a 24K modem.
Now we're getting back.
We're dating ourselves here.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he would be a few minutes behind where I was live, but he would send me messages through AOL Instant Messenger and say, hey, that lead guitar needs turned down a couple decibels.
Really?
Or, hey, that microphone is it's squealing a little bit.
Huh?
And that's how I learned how to do it.
Wow, Bill.
You know,
that's awesome.
Taught me through AOL.
It's basically a trial and error with a little bit of guidance. Some, you know, but you seem to, you know, if I remember right, the shows that I listened to, you seem to always have a good mix, you know. And what the only rule you had that you always broke, you always gave the bass player the mic and then they wanted to talk. You know, that's
Oh, see, I always point out the drummers.
Yeah, the drummers and the bass players, you give them the mic and they want to talk. See, case in point, you know, like you said,
it's that bass line.
Yeah. So, but, you know, now, you know, you were talking a little bit about what has happened with, you know, your, the guy that taught you, you know, the board and everything. Can you elaborate on, you know, what is going on with him right now? And maybe, you know, the listeners out there, can you take a hear and maybe after they hear this, you know, throw out some prayers, some good vibes and good thoughts for this guy.
So, my timeline's going to be terrible on this, but, I'm going to say the last 2 years, Tony found out that he had brain cancer and lung cancer. Hmm. And they at the time, they told him, I believe they told him 6 months. And he's well past that. But this past week, he fell and hit his head. Ooh. And he's unresponsive and he's in hospice now. And, you know, there are, like, if you've ever heard an interview or read an article about the show, and there's been quite a few of those recently, there are lots of people that I mention, you know, everyone's, you know, even John, Bill. No, there are so many people, like Chris. Without Chris, none of this would have happened. You know, Matt and Steve and Tony, and, you know, I could give you probably 150 people and still not have covered everyone that's made this happen. And, but Tony was instrumental. You know, if he wouldn't have taught me how to run the mixer, you know, that live stuff would have never happened.
And it came out good. And it was always entertaining for me. Like I said, being a guy that couldn't be there back in that area at that time, it was still keeping me connected to, you know, the AK music scene and the guys that I came up with in the scene. And seeing them do so good, and then, you know, you offering it to the world to listen to, I thought it was, you know, just ingenious and gave so much, credit to what the scene is now become, you know, in my opinion. You know, yeah, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, you know.
I am. You know, there have been some cool nights. There was a night, where Total Music and Entertainment, Tony's company, had played front of house, ran the front of house for I don't want to say the wrong bands. Not looking it up. We'll say some major players. Right. And they were doing their after party. Uh-huh. And I switched over to Shoutcast server that was set up on my computer, and I DJ'd their after party with local music.
Wow, yes. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, you know, with all that, Bill, can you tell me, with all the people you've interviewed, with all the things that you've got an opportunity to do, what do you have anything that is what you would call your favorite time or favorite segment or favorite interview that you did for the PA Rock Show over the years?
It was this one. It was this one, for sure.
Besides this one.
You know, I got asked on a recent interview on the Orion Music Project podcast. He asked me what my worst one was. Uh-huh. I'm going to mention that one.
Okay, we'll go with that one. What was the worst one? You tell us, Bill. What was the one that makes your hair stand on end, you know, all four hairs on top of your head? And
yeah, there aren't many left.
and makes you just cringe when you think of it.
Well, I have to give a little bit of a lead-in story. I had interviewed the drummer from the band Deathlehem. Uh-huh. And I don't know if either of you are familiar with them.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Chris, have you heard of Deathlehem?
Maybe. Let's go with a possibly on that one.
All right. So they're a metal band and they dress up as knights and, they call themselves nerd rock.
Oh, this sounds like something I should get in on.
Oh, they're really good. It's Deathlehem.com. It's spelled like Bethlehem, except with a D.
But they're your worst interview?
Well, no, it wasn't them. So the drummer told me up front, like they are in character.
Right.
All the time. And he told me up front, he's like, I'm really bad at staying in character. I said, good, I'm going to break you.
Okay.
So I got him out of character pretty early on, and then I gave him a hard time about it. Well, there's a pirate band in the area that he's friends with. They're called the Bloody Seaman. Yeah.
That's also my nickname.
So I hook up with them and I'm going to interview them because of the interview with JT from Deathlehem. I can't remember his character name. Right. But so I'm like, I'm going to break these guys too. So I have the captain and he's doing the interview with me and I can't remember the other guy's name, but like, he would be going for minutes at a time. And, you know, I've been carrying on this conversation with this guy who was speaking with a French accent, but using like pirate ease, if that's a word. Yeah. And so you know, he's talking to me about the band, and then the other guy is swearing at me from another room and like just rattling things off. And this interview's terrible, except he's saying it as a pirate. And, you know, it was, I say it's the only time the show has ever been shanghaied. And it wasn't like, you know, they weren't bad. They stayed in character. They were awesome. I was terrible. I started laughing at myself because I couldn't keep it straight every time he started yelling at me.
Right. Now, on the reverse side of that, Bill, let's get back to this. What was the best interview, your favorite of all time, do you think?
Well, see, here's the thing. Back when the show was when the bands played live in my living room, it started out Wednesday nights. Do you remember, Chris?
I remember that, man. The best Wednesday of the week.
And then we switched to Friday. And here's why. These people would come to my house, and we'd start the show at 8 p.m., and I'd have to get up and teach in the morning. And they would still be there.
Oh, of course.
And that, while that was – it was really cool, and it was – but I'm going to throw this story out, and I tell this a lot, but Chris Rigge from Cage, he's the bass player. One night, it's like February.
Right.
And I walk out my back door to get in my car to go to work, and I trip and fall.
Was it Rigge? Over a person?
Rigge is sleeping on my back porch.
Yeah, that's nice. That's great, man.
And he's got probably 20 blankets on him. Well, so nice. I walk back, and like he didn't wake up. I'm a big dude. I fell on him. So I go back in the house, and I say to Kelly, I'm like, why is Chris on the back porch? She goes, he refused to sleep in the house. I said, okay, but why is he out with all his blankets on? She goes, because I kept waking up like every 20 to 30 minutes and thinking he was going to freeze, so I kept piling blankets on him.
Old Rigge. I haven't seen or heard him in years. One of my favorite bass players from the area and one of the nicest guys, you know. But wow, now we're going back.
Yeah. So I went back out there and I kicked him. And he rolls over and he's like, what? I'm like, dude, the neighbors are going to call the police. Go inside.
That's great.
But that was, you know, the show, you know, it, my next door neighbor who is now deceased, I walked over and knocked on his front door the first night that we had my band, which was the second show. And I was like, hey, Milo, I'm going to have a band playing in my living room tonight.
Right.
If it gets loud, come tell me. And he gets this big grin on his face. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. He goes, Bill, you can blow your own windows out. I'm not calling the cops.
Nice. So you got the license to fly, and you made it happen. And, you know, so much has happened since then, and we didn't get to get into all that. But I will say this, you know, without the PA Rock Show, the AK music scene would not be what it is today. Whether you want to accept that, you know, or not, Bill, I think you have been a big, huge supporter and, you know, supplier of music to the listeners and the fans. And that just goes to prove, because this past year at Rock for Life was one of their biggest draws, you know, and you know, and all the local bands work together, I think, better because you have this little show going on that gives them the opportunity, you know, to be exposed to these fans, and they respect that. And, you know, without the grassroots work of Bill Damiano, we would not be, you know, seeing the big numbers at these Rock for Life shows. You know, I think that makes a big impact on the scene itself. And, you know, I want to thank you for it personally. And I'm sure, you know, all the guys that, you know, from the area, especially Steve and Matt and Fred Almer from FU Entertainment, really appreciates all you do. You know,
Bill, you're the man.
And I know you don't know how.
See,
to
and there
that.
It is. I can't even respond. I'm going to tell you a story about Rock for Life off the air.
Okay.
That has to do with that. But I do have a moment that I want to mention over the 11 years of the show.
On the format clock, this will be our last story, so go ahead.
Okay. So in 2008, which would have been the 9 year? No, I'm terrible. Not 2000. Anyway, it was 2000. It was the 9th year of the show. I don't teach math.
Thank goodness for that.
Was it? No, it was the eighth year. It was the eighth year. So I decided that I wanted to put a concert together and raise money for a nonprofit. And I'm not going to mention who it was because the money didn't end up going there. Which sounds it terrible, sound but
you should.
I'm going to explain. Okay. So I'm getting ready to put this thing together. I contact the guys from Rock for Life, and I tell them what I want to do. And they're like, yeah, we're in. We're, you know, they ran it for me. I picked the bands. I did the promotional stuff, but you know, they let me use their field, their stage. They were the stage crew.
Wow.
And what happened was, you know, I was in the process. I had already contacted the, place that I was going to raise the money for and say, and to find out what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, then one of my students, got diagnosed with, a bunch of diseases. I'm not going to rattle them all off.
Right.
But she needed a liver transplant.
Oh, okay.
And having been involved with Rock for Life, I knew where they were headed monetarily.
Right.
And they didn't.
Right.
And, so I, you know, I was already getting this thing together and I was like, you know what? I can raise money for those people at a different time. And I took the show and used it to help raise money for my student who, coincidentally has since been a benefactor of Rock for Life.
Nice.
And, she got her liver transplant 6 months ago.
Nice. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a show. Yeah, that's, again, grassroots of, you know, and as you know, for everybody that, you know, don't know, I have a little thing that I'm starting out here that's similar to Rock for Life called the American Hill Jack Pro Series, where everybody says positive, real, and original. That's what pro stands for. And, you know, and I think you, Bill, are definitely a model of that because you've always been positive, real, and original, and you've paid it forward. You know, Chris helped you. You helped me and, you know, and so on down the line, you know, and that just goes to show you that, you know, when people work together and look at things for the better of everyone and not just themselves, it it pays off in the end, in my personal opinion. You know.
I do wanna, and this is again right along with what you're saying. So Rock for Life did let me do that show. You know, it wasn't a Rock for Life show, but you know, it was them doing it. And after that we replaced one of their shows with the Pennsylvania Rock Show anniversary. And what happens is, you know, I pick the bands, they do all the work.
Right. Now you're doing that again this year, and Bill. Are you gonna...
We are. And that's where I was headed.
Okay. That's what I was getting to.
So, all the money that comes through the door, I'll be quite honest. I have no idea how much comes through the door because I don't even go ask. It just gets donated to Rock for Life and, to whichever child they're helping that year. And normally it's in September because that's the anniversary year, but there was something going on at the venue that we use.
Okay.
Around the same time, and we didn't want to flood the area with
yeah,
you know, the same bands, you know how that works. And so we're doing the anniversary show on November 7th, and this is the first time that's being announced. I don't have any bands yet. Mostly because I haven't asked yet.
Well, I've got a band I'll throw in there. You know, I know a little band that would be willing to come over that way and play if you're willing to have it.
Well, here's the thing. I asked one band so far.
Okay.
And I'm waiting for a response from them. And if they say yes, then you guys are right in line with where I'm headed.
All right. You just let us know, Bill, because the Hellfire Club, and you can check us out at hellfiremusic.com, and that is ran by Bill Damiano, because if I ran it, nothing would ever get done. And, I'm telling you, we'd be more than willing to come over and help you guys out in any way possible. Even if you just want me to come over and spit a few things through the mic and MC for the night, I'm throwing my hat in the ring, you know.
Awesome.
Bill, I would love to come out and contribute absolutely nothing. I absolutely would.
Well, Chris, you got to come out and we'll just all hang out. That sounds
like a great plan to me, man.
Here's the awesome thing about the venue. It's the Leechburg Moose.
Okay.
And literally, I can see the front of the moose from my front porch.
Perfect for you, but you don't drink.
It is.
Well, it's great for me because I do. So,
yeah, I mean, this way you just make sure you have a spot for me and Chris to sleep. You know, we'll take the back porch just like Riggy did.
Yeah, I will take the back porch for sure.
I think you missed the part where I said I tripped over him and fell on him.
That was his problem, not his.
Yeah, exactly. We'll work that out. Well, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show and celebrating the 11th year. The 11th year of this great show, and hopefully many, many more. I've been honored to be a part of, you know, the Pennsylvania Rock Show and doing the concert calendar and the little things. And Bill has really honored me by letting me be the, you know, guest host tonight. And I want to thank all the bands in the area that has supported Bill. And, you know, and I'll tell you, Bill, hopefully we'll be celebrating the 22nd, you know, anniversary. And, doing this all again. And, you know, hey, maybe we'll be doing it, you know, with me in a wheelchair, but still it'll be fun.
John, there has only ever been one other guest host.
And who was the other? Who was the other guest host?
It was Tony.
Oh,
Tony Marinacci. So I completely handed that over to him. I wasn't even on the show.
I feel like I'm in good company then. And, hey, all you folks keep tuning in every month to the Pennsylvania Rock Show because it only gets bigger and better, and it's giving you the best on-site music from the Pennsylvania area that you need to hear and spread around, because guess what? The scene starts with you, the fans, and when the fans get what they get, they can give it away, and that's what we always aim to do here at the Pennsylvania Rock Show. We'll be catching you next month, and don't forget, it's always about the good time here at the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
PARockShow.com/fans, by the way. We're giving some things away for the anniversary. Right now you can win 2 tickets to the End of Summer Jam.
Nice.
And I have a bunch of band swag sitting right in front of me right now. We have,
I believe the
John's gonna Whiskey High. I have Whiskey High stuff, John.
Yeah, well, there you go. I think the Hellfire Club needs to send you possibly, you know, maybe some shirts and some of our beer mugs, you know, that we've been selling. So this way you can give those away as well. So we'll have to get on that off the air and, you know, make sure you have that in your possession, you know.
And let me rattle off a couple more. I have Homicide Black stuff. I have Scale. I have some After the Fall stuff. I'm blanking. I'm looking at – it's all in envelopes right now. So forgive me if I didn't mention you. But I have a ton of stuff to give away. So just keep an eye on PARockShow.com/fans and the Facebook page. And all you have to do is give me your name and email address and you're entered.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Bill. Thank you very much, Chris. And absolutely, thank you guys for starting everything that is leading on even into the Buckeye State over here in Ohio. And we will be giving as much possible music to all you people and making sure that you know that the PA Rock Show will be here for as long as we can make it happen.